following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The story of the wise men is so familiar to us, it seems just another pleasant piece of the whole Christmas scene, far removed from the news of our day, dominated as it is by political turmoil and conflicts between peoples. We imagine the wise men kneeling before the infant Jesus, and it appears such a nice scene. We easily miss how brazen and politically charged this action of the wise men was. The wise men were called magoi in ancient Greek, transliterated into English as the magi. They were philosopher priests from the area of Persia. They studied the stars, and they saw something in the stars which led them to conclude that a king of extraordinary significance was being born in the land of Judea. So they set out for Judea, and after a long journey, they arrived at the palace. There, they asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." To us, this seems like such a innocent, uplifting, a pleasant question. But in the context of King Herod's court, it was anything but. There was a king of the Jews, and it was Herod. The claim that somebody else was king of the Jews was a challenge to Herod's rule. He responded with violence as he sent soldiers to slaughter the infants of Bethlehem. The story of the wise men would be replicated in a way in the story of the early church. Of all the titles that Christians used for Jesus, the title that they used the most was the title Lord. Kyrios in Greek, Dominus in Latin. But there was already somebody else who claimed the title of Lord, Caesar. You can find the word Dominus along with the name of Caesar on quite a number of Roman coins. When Christians said that Jesus was Lord, it was a challenge to the authority of the emperor, because Christians were saying that there is a higher authority to which they owed the utmost allegiance. Emperors responded with brutal persecution. The political challenge brought by the wise men and later by the early Christians was all the more galling to the ruling powers, because the challenge was brought by people who had no real status in the first place. The wise men came from beyond the boundaries of the Roman Empire. They were foreigners. They were in no position to claim who ought to be king over the Roman province of Judea. Early Christians, for the most part, were people who did not have the status of citizenship in the Roman Empire. Rulers hate to be challenged by underlings. But the New Testament proclaims that we are given a status by God. We are citizens of God's kingdom, and we are now under the ultimate rule of Christ, who is truly king. So the Apostle Paul would say, God has seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So our citizenship is in heaven, to which we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this truth that is being declared for the first time in the Gospels in the story of the wise men. Their visit to the Holy Family was a kind of inauguration. As they knelt in worship before the infant Jesus, they were declaring that Jesus is the true King who reigns over all peoples. It is Jesus who has ultimate authority, and it is Jesus to which we owe our utmost allegiance. This truth has guided Christians ever since. We may have all sorts of rulers on this earth, but the biblical message is that every ruler stands underneath a higher moral and spiritual authority. So, rather than burning incense to the emperor as a sign of worshipful obeisance, which is what people had to do in the first and second centuries, we hold our rulers accountable and critique them in light of higher moral values. And if our rulers get out of line, we get rid of the rulers. As, for example, during the American Revolution, when one of the slogans was, "No king, but King Jesus." All this puts the current events of our day into important context. Our country will be having an inauguration in less than 2 weeks, and a new president will be accompanied by a new Congress. No matter what side of the aisle that you're on, the New Testament gives valuable guidance for how we as Christians are to respond today to the rulers of our time. In general, as Christians, we follow Paul's dictum in Romans 13, where he said, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities." We support government and obey the laws, since government carries out the good function of creating order and restraining evildoers. At the same time, we join with the wise men in recognizing where ultimate authority lies. This past Christmas Day, the Republican National Committee, led by Reince Priebus, put out a statement that you may have seen that read in part as follows. Over two millennia ago, a new hope was born into the world, a Savior who would offer the promise of salvation to all mankind. Just as the three wise men did on that night, this Christmas heralds a time to celebrate the good news of a new king. There was a lot of controversy following that statement as to whether the new king was a reference to Donald Trump or whether, as Priebus later insisted, it was simply a reference to Jesus. However it was intended, the statement generated a lot of confusion. And certainly, a central issue of our time is that many people do get confused as to where they should be looking for truth, for values, for guidance, and for hope. But if we genuinely stand with the wise men, we are not confused about who is truly king. Our eyes are upon Jesus. This means that even as we live as law-abiding citizens, we will maintain a critical distance with respect to any government. We will measure what the government does against the values of Jesus. And it also means that we are clear about where our hope lies. For all the good that government might do, it cannot save us. We look to a higher power for ultimate direction in life. And this, finally, is how we can have genuine hope. These past months in America have been characterized by a lot of despair over what might come out of Washington, no matter who won the election. But when we stand with the wise men, we have real hope because we recognize who is truly on the throne of the universe. So we acclaim Christ as our King. We rejoice that Christ is one who draws all people together under his reign. With the wise men, we offer our gifts in service to Christ. And no matter what may come in life, as we trust in Christ, we can live in faith, in love, and in real confidence for the future. The Apostle Paul said it well in the closing words of his letter to Timothy. "As for you, people of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. Keep God's commandments until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, He who is the only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as the wise men came into your presence, lifting their hearts to you in devotion, we today come to you in faith, acclaiming you as the true King, the one who reigns over our lives, and the one who can guide us to share as members of God's kingdom in our world today. Move us, Lord, as we would trust in your Spirit to be at work in and through us. Guide us as, together in your church, we would seek to be witnesses today to your truth, your grace, your love in our time. We thank you, Lord, that you draw us together in this fellowship of the church, that we can support one another, that we can journey together just as the wise men journeyed together, and that together then we can reach out into the whole world, that just as they went forth with the message of your birth, so we can tell the good news today. As your church, we reach out to people who are in times of particular need. We thank you, Lord, that we can reach out beyond our own community into the world at large. We join with our fellow United Methodists at the Twin Falls United Methodist Church this week and pray you would empower us as we would seek to be in mission in your world as a whole. Oh, Lord, our age is full of turmoil. But we find hope as we look to you. We know that indeed you reign over all, and you are here to guide us today and lead us finally into your everlasting promises. Move us as we put our trust in you, as we let your Spirit work in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.